Well, all right. Greetings and welcome, everybody, and thank you for tuning in for another edition, a special edition of the Sunday Plus. My name is Josh Gatewood, and I'm sitting down with Eric Clark and Craig King, and we're going to talk to you today about how to find rest in the holidays. And so, gentlemen, how are we doing today?
Good. Real good.
I need some rest.
You need some rest?
Yeah.
After that introduction?
Yeah.
Need some rest. Well, cool. You know, it's the holiday season, and it's Midland, and I have noticed that traffic has increased over the last several years. Okay. Busyness has increased over the last several years. Cluster, confusion, frustration, all the things that come with a booming economy. But it feels like in the holiday season, those realities especially pick up. And so what I want to do today is kind of lean into Eric's message from 2 weeks ago and talk a little bit about what it means to have hope in Christ and kind of what you're trying to get out of that. And then I want to come over to Craig because Craig had some interesting feedback on that message, and I think that'll be a good kind of segue for us to talk about rest and busyness and taking care of our souls in this busy season. So, Eric, you preached to us a couple weeks ago about a very unusual story in the New Testament about a man named Simeon, and you kind of gave us some direction based on Simeon's example for how to have hope. So how'd you come to that message, and man, what was kind of the hope that you had for that message when you delivered it?
Yeah, so for me, that message was really 6 months in the making. God had taken me through a process through life, and really it was kind of the overflow of what he showed me. And so really it came out in a sticky statement that my hope was that God would, by his Spirit, resurrect hope that may have been lost through a growing cynicism in our life, frustration with our life, that may he might give us a window into our cynicism that sometimes we don't even know we're cynical. That's some of the feedback I received. And that he would help us respond to that through repentance and trust in him, and that maybe that cynicism might be broken. And so, you know, if you remember, one of the quotes from Carrie Newhoff was that hope is one of cynicism's first casualties. And that resonated a lot. That really put kind of a connecting point to Simeon's hope and how our hope is thwarted through some real sticky statements.
So. Yeah, and I understand you've received some pretty ongoing positive feedback from that message. I mean, pretty regularly. I know a lot of people that I've talked to have just spontaneously said that message really spoke to them.
Yeah, I've been very humbled, and I don't say that, you know, cliche-ish or, you know, passive, you know, like, oh, yeah. But it's been, I've received a lot of a response, and you know when your wife gives you like, "Hey, it meant a lot to me." She's not, she's not blown, you know, blown smoke. It was really meaningful.
Yeah, because she's already heard all your good stuff. She's used to it, and so having her give a compliment is a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's cool, man. So I want to come over to Craig because for all the positive feedback that you received, Eric, Craig was the jerk.
Wait a minute.
I was going to give you a chance to defend yourself, and you just kind of came out with it. I was going to say Craig had some gracious pushback on some of the things that Eric said that I thought was actually constructive enough for us to get around this table and dig into the subject. And so talk to us a little bit, Craig, about a little bit of the heartburn that you had toward the end of the message.
So I want to first say that
you love Eric, and I've already fought.
Right.
And Eric won.
Well,
and
how beautiful is this, though, the nuances of us unpacking a message, right?
Absolutely.
Because I told somebody before the message how excited I was. My favorite word in Scripture is hope. Because of how we've misused it, and you even touched on this, how it's become the wishing well, right? We've flipped a quarter in the wishing well, and we hope things are going to work out. Well, Scripture teaches something totally different of the word hope. Hope is a person, and it's secure, and you touched that. So I'm in my seat. I'm going nuts. I'm amening, all that kind of stuff. So I want to set the context for that first to say I'm totally on board. And what it again, I see where people – why you're getting so much feedback because, again – that's what's lost in this time of year. When we're going nuts, hope seems lost, right? It's just – anyway. But my – not my issue, but where my heart began to turn and maybe not question, but how do we unpack it better as ministers, as pastors, as friends, as husbands, dads, was the four application at the end. Help me unpack those a little bit. So the first one was learn to slow down, learn to say no.
Say no more.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
What was the second one?
Fixate on
Jesus. Third was?
You put me on the spot.
I know. I'm sorry. I didn't memorize them either.
Was it four or was it three?
Maybe it was three.
It was three.
Because the one was
practice gratitude.
Yeah, it was practice
gratitude. That's what it was. The gratitude journal.
Yep. So all those were super good. But as I heard, learn to slow down more, say no more, and you unpacked it really well. So you the context was really good. But I just got to thinking about our church. And so talking as guys around here, we've sat across table from guys at lunch, right, that are in our economy. They're in our business around here, and they have – two phones, right? And they'll
on the table.
Right, on the table. And they'll even say, I apologize, I'll probably have to take some phone calls. My mind immediately went there. My mind immediately went to my four kids. Four kids. We literally this week has been something every night with a kid that's in an activity. And so I just began to internalize to go, How does Craig King say no more? Do I look at a child and go, no, we're not going to go to that choir concert tonight? And so, and I know that sounds silly, but in some of our people's mind in our church,
it may have been that
they may have gone there immediately to go, wait a minute. Well, then I have to say no to everything because I think I told you guys this. I think for some of our people, the flip side may be true. They may need to say yes to a lot more things. I think people sometimes aren't as busy as what they think they are. Are we busy around here? Or are we turned up? Yes. I would have totally agree. It seems crazy. And so that began to be my pushback, I think, with not pushback. Right. I would just say, how do we unpack that better? Because we all had this tension when you stand up in front of a couple of thousand people and you have 35 minutes. How in the world am I supposed to, one, get to what the scripture's speaking about and then application.
Without weighing down people with that application.
That's right. And all the nuances. I love that word, all the nuances that come with that. Because what I think is busy may not be busy to someone who has six kids and two jobs. Or the single mom who's out there in our congregation that's trying to make it with three kids. You know? That my heart went to her to go and she's laughing at us saying we're busy. You know, she's rolling her eyes because she's checking into her second job. So anyway, I really wanted to unpack, well, then how do we say no more? How do we look at those people in the eye and go, you need to learn how to say more, no more?
Well, and I think if I could put that into a box, I would say that what you're really getting after is this issue of trade-offs. What are the right trade-offs we need to be making? What are the right things to say no to? What are the right things to say yes to? And are there seasons in which that can change and there's going to be some variation to it? And so I want to lean into that and just ask you guys both the question. Whoever wants to start can start. How do we decide to say yes to certain things and no to certain things, generally speaking, but then maybe even especially in the holiday season? So easy question for you guys.
So actually there was four takeaways. The other one was to take small steps of obedience.
That's right. Awesome. Good job.
It only took me a couple minutes.
You were thinking the whole time.
Application steps. So, no, you know, how would say this, and I think for me it was, and again, I didn't have a lot of time to communicate the nuances, and that's why I love this medium. Because I think this can really help not only us as we talk through it, but the people. I think for me it was more of, okay, we already – all of us have full schedules based upon our context, whether it's the family with six or the single mom with three. What does it mean to not add more yeses on top of that already busy schedule and then to take a look at our own schedules and to say, are there some things that can, right? Like we might not be able to say no to a choir concert, but we might be able to say no to something else and replace it with something that can build memories, something that can foster family laughter and unity and just a breath. So that's kind of, for me, what I was driving towards.
Right. And I think for you, I've talked about this. We've both experienced an increase of busyness being kind of new dads and seeing what parenting brings on.
Right.
We've also talked to a lot of people who it seems like they're seeking out a lot of advice for just how to have a basic spiritual life amidst the busy schedule. And so I know a lot of that context informs that. But then you come over to a Craig King who's got more gray hairs than we do, and he's got more kids than we do, combined actually. And you go, maybe he's been doing this for a little bit longer, and maybe he's got some things to say, and maybe his saying no looks totally different. So how do you answer that question,
so
Craig?
I would say there are some things you can't say no to, right? I can't look at Titus last night and go, no, not tonight. We're not going to go to the band concert, right?
Yeah.
There are some things in our lives that we can't say no to. And so Addie and I really have taken this approach that there's just going to be seasons that we're just going to have to gird up our loins, right? Mm-hmm. And we're going to have to get after it, you know? Mm-hmm. But we always know that there's rest coming. And we'll answer some of that later, one of the later questions. I think one important issue here, though, is many times in our schedules, we're really busy, but if we were to really look at it, a lot of the busyness may be selfish. Mm. You know, it's a trip that I want to take. It's a trip that Addie wants to take. Mm-hmm. And so us maybe having in certain seasons to make some sacrifices to go, mm-hmm. you know, that's not something that benefits our whole family.
Mm-hmm.
And again, because at the end of the day, there's a schedule, a non-negotiable schedule.
Right.
You didn't show up. You didn't wake up today and go, nope, I can't go to work.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't feel like I'm going to say no to work today.
Mm-hmm.
It's non-negotiable. You have to go to work today.
Yep.
I have to go to the concert. Yep. I have to go.
Yep. And that's biblical. He who does not work shall not eat. I mean, it's this idea of finding rest in the Lord and having good rhythms is balanced out with the biblical tension of, but be a worker. Don't be a slothful person. Absolutely. Invest. You sow, you reap. Those sorts of things.
So what we're looking at as a family is we're looking at what do we say even yes to in our routine? So what are we doing as we go, Great Commission, as we're going, that we can still fit in times of discipleship? Yeah. We have to eat. Every day we have to eat.
Mm-hmm.
So whether we're sitting around our table, which doesn't happen very much in this season, just to be honest with you, or we're out to eat, a lot of times we'll be intentional with, hey, let's take that family.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take that other family with us that we don't know very well or we know we're struggling.
Mm-hmm.
And our kids laugh and they're loud and we get on to them. But we sit across the table from a family maybe that's struggling,
mm-hmm.
and we encourage them.
Yeah,
you know, and so it's just, what are those things we're doing every day in our routine that we can just go, hey, somebody could go with us in this routine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so for instance, we're hosting a little girl from Haiti at Christmas. People would look at us and go, wait a minute, you already got four kids. Like, why are you adding another one?
Mm-hmm.
Well, for us, it was we're not adding much to our plate during a time where we're already kind of breaking as a family, and this is important for our family. We've talked with them. Mm-hmm. And so what are those things that we're already doing in our routine that we can just be maybe a little more intentional with?
Right.
Can
I say something real quick to that?
Mm-hmm.
I think you hit something that really I think is important for all of us is the word intentionality.
Yep.
And with that comes being proactive, because I think sometimes if we're not careful in this season, we say yes to too many things because we're reacting in the moment
mm-hmm.
to a perceived need that maybe we mm-hmm. say yes to when we should have said no to if we were to be intentional of going, I want to be intentional adding these things to my life, intentionally saying, you know, we can't say no to this and being not passive.
Right.
And I think sometimes if we're not careful – if we're not stewarding our time, well, we become passive and not intentional, so we say yes to everything.
Well, one thing you hit on, at least in I think it was the 10:30 service that I sat through, was maybe you need to put your phone down, say no to your electronic devices.
Yep.
Here's what's interesting. I've noticed every busy person still finds a way to post on Twitter.
True.
Every busy person still finds a way to Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook.
Right.
Even if they're not posting, we all know what Facebook stalking looks like. You know, you scroll for 30 minutes, and that 30 minutes feels like 5 seconds, but it goes by fast.
Yep, absolutely.
I think there's a place to say a very simple no is excessive technology or excessive device using for the sake of saying yes to intentional conversations, intentional relationships. Because, again, going back to trade-offs, every no leads to a yes, and every yes will lead to a no.
Right.
There's just a zero-sum game there. And so I think right off the bat, a very simple practical takeaway is let's add intentionality by taking away or saying no to excessive electronic usage.
Right.
But I want to lean into this idea of rest.
Okay.
Because I think that when we think about intentionality, redeeming the time is kind of what you just talked about, Craig. But I could hear somebody on the other end of this in their car going, oh, that sounds like adding more.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like extra busyness.
Yep.
I thought this was about rest. So what do we actually do in the midst of intentionality, in the midst of discipleship, in the midst of trying to just be faithful with the people God's placed in our life? How do we find rest? How do we actually downshift for emotional, spiritual renewal?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'd be really easy in this moment to go, well, get out your pen and paper because here's a list of 10 things that you can do for rest, right?
That's what I brought.
Right.
No, I'm just kidding.
Well, it's epidemic in the church. And that's why I think these conversations are important, because we always have or are supposed to have the right answers. And then you have a group of a couple thousand people that then live in guilt because right. they can't measure up to the list of 12 things that I just listed. Mm-hmm. So my first note on that question actually was this idea that, hey, I may say some things and use some examples, but every person is created differently, mm-hmm. and every person rests differently. Mm-hmm. Every person is emotionally, say, healed a little bit differently. It takes different things. Mm-hmm. You're wired different than I am. Mm-hmm. and so I kind of make a note at the beginning, like a caveat to yeah. say, hey, I may say some things, but it's not for everybody.
Good.
Here's kind of what we've learned to do about rest. But so what we do for rest, again, we go as a family. And so at Christmas time, there is a week that's kind of built in, or a 2-week period that's built in where the kids are not in school, that we are intentional with. We sleep in late, like physically, we sleep in late. We walk around our house in the PJs, like we give ourselves freedom to be sloths for a couple of days, right?
Yeah.
But then as the week goes on, we do some fun stuff together. We, my family hunts. Some of us do. Some of us hunt, and so we get to go spend some time together out in the woods. And if you have woods here, anyway,
the mesquite.
Exactly. We go outside.
I was like, woods. Where are you going, bro?
Yeah. He goes to Oklahoma.
Yeah. So some of us spend some time together with that. Some of my children love to shop, so I have to go shopping. But we spend time together, and we're not bound by this heavy clock, because in the semesters we're bound by clock. And so that's how we rest as a family. I'll say the Advent that the church has provided is a helpful resting point for us spiritually. It doesn't happen every day. We're lucky. I'll just say it. Well, we're lucky if it happens once a week.
Yeah.
If we catch a time right before bed, we're lucky if that happens once a week.
But it happened once a week, and that's the huge win.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So we rest spiritually with that. Let's see if there's one more thing. Yeah, then we just rest and we play together.
See, what I love about what you just said is you said rest is not just sitting and doing nothing.
No.
Rest involves this recreational activity.
Yeah.
And I think that there's something for us to say. Rest can look differently depending on your life, your personality, your schedule, the needs of your family, which is important because it means that ultimately what we're talking about is just getting that renewal in our hearts however we need to, which is going to – you know, if you're like my wife, super more introverted, her – and I say this introvert thing, could be an introvert, extrovert thing. Her rest is going to be Netflix for 4 hours or Hallmark for four hours.
That's right.
Mine is going to be outdoors a little bit. But what I also like that you said is it seems like you guys kind of have you may not say this out loud, but it's almost like you have an unspoken rule of, hey, we're going to embrace the busy seasons, but we're not going to prolong them indefinitely.
Right.
We're going to look to seasons where we have some rest.
Right.
And I think that's important, especially for the guy who's out there saying, well, I'm on for the next 10. But I got 6 off days coming.
Right.
So, man, make the most out of those 6 off days coming.
Absolutely.
Right. Because I think that there's a principle there of, hey, we're going to work, we're going to rest, we're going to work, we're going to rest. It's when work is nonstop that I think we really get into a bad place. Mm-hmm. But if we know we have some space for rest coming, add some intentionality to that. That could actually be really redemptive and helpful for the family.
Yeah. But, again, at the end of the day, maybe there's freedom here just to say on those 3 days off, if you've been 16, 14 on – mm-hmm. You know, maybe a day of you just chilling, laying around, you know, that's healthy, you know, and to give those people out there struggling with that, give them permission, you know, because sometimes in our dude mind and heart, we can't even let ourselves rest, right?
Yeah.
That's me. So even when I probably need to be a little more lazy, I'm thinking of stuff to do.
Talk a little bit about that, Eric, because you and I have talked through the year about the importance of gladly embracing your limits as a person. And I think Craig just kind of touched on that. But will you unpack that for us?
I think we unconsciously, because of the culture in which we live in and the things that we believe, we think that we have to push and exceed the limits.
Yep.
And God is woven into creation 6 and 1, 6 and 1, 6 and 1.
Yep.
And part of the idea of Sabbath generally is resting from work because we're trusting that God is in control.
Mm-hmm.
And so for us, in the way that we've approached it in our home over the last couple years, is trying to integrate what does it mean to put kind of a container or carve out time or to embrace the limits that God wants us to, you know, downshift into rest. And so for us, you know, for us, it's actually ceasing work. So for my wife, she's an entrepreneur. She she does some things. What's ceasing from that? Mm-hmm. For us, it's delight. So we use this word of delight. It's delighting in each other's playing cards. It's Uno. It's it's, you know, it's taking a walk down to Swenson's. It's all these things, delighting in creation, going out and building things. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the Orthodox Jewish rabbis once said that if you work with your hands, you need to rest with your mind. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But if you work with your mind, you need to rest with your hands.
Yeah.
Yep. And I think that's a really good kind of, you know, kind of tying into we're all different. And then for me, it's for our family, it's also been rest has been a time to contemplate. It's taking the devices for that. However, if it's 1 hour, 2 hours, 6 hours, however we can fit that rest into our week, right? And it changes every week. But in that, we take those devices, those laptops, those tablets, and we put them away, and we take it to contemplate with God. And so we do that through the Advent guide or some of the Advent stuff that we do. And then, again, then it's physical rest. It's like we've got to rest. And if we don't, we're just going to burn out. We cannot – we were not designed to just be all on all the time. And so I love the nuance that you guys both brought. It's, okay, at the other end of this mic, what does that look – what are the principles woven in there that you can embrace in your own world and say, I'm going to take these two steps in this season and implement them in my life. I don't have to have the whole thing tomorrow.
And don't you see the power – of self-awareness in this whole deal, being self-aware of what my limits are. A lot of times we discount being self-aware. We're learning this with our children even, especially our older one, 15, 13, them being self-aware about their lives, about what are their limits, you know, before they get to the very end of themselves and not know that they need rest and how to rest their soul and mind. But self-awareness is so huge in part of this. So
I would agree with that.
Well, I want to double-click on the quote that you just shared about from the Jewish rabbi, that if you work with your mind, you should rest with your hands, and if you work with your hands, you should rest with your mind. I want to just take a second to say that I think it was Tyler Dodds who shared that with me a couple years ago. And, you know, I would say that I work mostly with my mind, that when it comes to ministry, people, relationships, it's a mind and heart. It's an internal thing. And I have found that my greatest moments of rest have come from playing t-ball with my son. You know, throwing the ball in the front yard, working on the yard a little bit, even like mowing the grass, which is not something that I enjoy doing. But at the end of it, I feel this great relief and renewal. I actually I try to work out about 6 days a week, whether it's doing jiu-jitsu or hitting the weight room. And I actually, on my rest day, my day off on, you know, so to speak, Fridays, I still go to the gym and I still train jiu-jitsu because that's a rest for me. On the other end, though, I wonder if there's guys that are, you know, more physically inclined. They're construction workers. You're working out in the field. Maybe whenever you take a rest day, do what Craig said. You know, take a long time just to chill and detox. But maybe that's a time for you to pick up the Psalms, brother, and just read Psalm 51, read Psalm 23, pick up the Proverbs. I mean, I was really encouraged because a couple weeks ago when I preached, there's a guy that owns a rental company here in town. And my challenge was spend 15 minutes a day with Jesus. Just find a way to do 15 minutes in your car, in your truck, you know, before work, after work, whatever. And he came up to me after you preached, Eric, and he said, "Hey, Josh, just want you to let you know, I read a proverb a day for the last 7 days. I spent 15 minutes a day with Jesus."
That's cool.
And I'm like, that's a win.
That's cool.
That's a win. That's an absolute 100% win.
Absolutely.
And so as we think about nuance, we think about where people are at, I think that that proverb is very, very helpful. If you are working with your mind, rest with your hands. If you're working with your hands, try to rest with your mind. And maybe that, folks, if you're listening, gives you kind of a grid by which to put in this idea of rest in the holiday season. Because it may be that generally speaking or specifically in the holiday season, you find yourself doing too much with your mind and your heart, worry, stress, anxiety, over-planning. Where you're doing too much with your hands, over shopping, over buying, over committing to certain parties, schedules, whatever. And maybe for you to downshift looks like doing the opposite of what you're naturally inclined to do during this season. So I want to wrap up by giving some concluding action steps for everybody who's listening. But before I do that, you guys have any final thoughts you'd like to say just on this idea of rest, busyness in the holiday season?
I think the power in community, we say it all the time, community, living life together is like, be okay with these conversations, right?
Yeah.
So I came up to you right after you preached that sermon and encouraged you, but how do we unpack that?
Absolutely.
And I want our people to to do that in community. Unpack that. Right. It doesn't have to be in a group. Do it over lunch. Mm. But unpack – what does that look like for you? Get some ideas. What is what are you doing with your – find families that are similar to yours. What are you doing? Find guys that are doing similar to what you're doing. What do you do for rest? How are you going to rest? Because it's easy for us to stand on a pulpit at a stage, whatever you want to call it, and say, here's how you need to rest. And then like you said, Josh, then we lose credibility because everybody's going, that's a joke, dude. Yeah.
Like, all you do is study your Bible.
Right.
And pray and fast.
Right. All you do is sing, Craig. So what do you know about rest?
Well, not this last Sunday. You had some preaching there, brother. It was pretty good. It was pretty good.
I appreciate this medium, but I want people to feel, go work it out in community. Go have these kind of conversations that we had.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the only thing I think I would close with is, you know, in God's kingdom, work is just as sacred as rest.
That's right.
I think what we're trying to do is to help lead us as a congregation to see both as sacred not one as more important than the other, or if there's something neglected to go, how do we dial into how God has wired the universe?
That's right.
And to do it in a way that's redemptive, not only for the benefit of our city, right? Jeremiah 29, that our work, our having families is actually for the welfare of the city. And the welfare of the city, we find our welfare. And so we want to find the God-given design and mediums like this where we're able to unpack something like Say No More, I think ultimately benefits our people and our city.
For sure. For sure.
Good. That's awesome, guys. Well, let me kind of get some final action steps to those who are listening. So, folks, as you've heard this, hopefully you've processed through and kind of begin to identify yourself in some of these conversations. And again, we want to emphasize there's a lot of nuance, there's a lot of individuality to this. But either way, the point is simply this. God wants us to rest and God wants us to work. And knowing how to find that balance in our life is absolutely critical for this season and for the next. And so as you think about applying this and kind of diagnosing where you're at in this season, let me give you some questions to ask, some passages to read, and maybe a conversation to have. The questions I would encourage you to ask are the following. The first question is this. When you think about your busy schedule, the question is, why are you saying yes to those things? Craig kind of alluded to this a while ago, but there are a lot of things we say yes to that are really, really good. We say yes to those things because they provide for our family. We say yes to those things because it is our family we're saying yes to. Yeah. We say yes to those things because we want to add some intentionality with people in their spiritual formation. But let me give you some other side of the equation that I know has plagued me throughout the years. One reason that I've said yes over the years is because busyness is a great form of escape. Mm-hmm. I may be really, really frustrated, really, really sad, really, really upset with my circumstances. And sometimes I say yes to being busy because it's a great way to ignore how I actually feel. Mm-hmm. Another reason I've said yes over the years is because it's an identity thing. The more busy I am, the more valuable and the more important I feel. Yeah. So are you saying yes because of an identity issue? You're trying to prove yourself. And I would say this. If you would answer yes to one of those two questions, I would encourage you to go read the following passage, Luke chapter 10, the story of Martha and Mary. It's at the very end of chapter 10, and it's a wonderful little short story in which we see these two women, one who is working around Jesus and one who is sitting with Jesus. And maybe if you said yes to one of those questions or both, maybe somehow in the next week you need to find a way to sit with Jesus and escape to him and not to your busyness and find your identity in him and not in the things that you do that make you feel important. The last thing I would encourage you to do, so there's some questions to ask, a passage to read, and then maybe a conversation to have this week is this. Maybe with a spouse, maybe with a friend, maybe you ask this question in that conversation. What is it that makes you feel rested? What is it that you do to find spiritual renewal? In fact, husbands, I would say if you're listening, ask this to your wife this week and then provide that for her. Serve her like Jesus served the church by providing that. But Craig made a great point. In community, let's ask the questions, let's get some ideas, and let's find out where people find rest, how we can serve them in that, but also how we can learn from them and apply rest to our own lives in life in the Permian Basin, but in this holiday season especially. So that's what we have for you guys this month. We will be back next year in the month of January to bring you a whole new edition of the Sunday Plus. Thank you all so much for listening throughout 2018. We're so grateful. We're so thankful. And if you have any insights or ideas for how we can improve this podcast, make it better, then please go to the bottom of your feed, leave us a review, let us know. But either way, we will be back next year with more content, more questions, and hopefully some more information to challenge you and help you in your walk with Jesus. I'm Josh Gatewood for the Sunday Plus. We'll catch you next time.